Just keep praying for Dave, you know, for his recovery.
Okay, well, good morning. And there are handouts on the tables. Everybody should have one. If there's not enough at your table, there are extras at a nearby table. So please make sure everybody has a handout because we'll be going through it. Any memory work this morning? Any recitations? Wonderful. Kathy, please. Thank you. Okay. Okay.
Teach me, O Lord, follow your decrees, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your command, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your will. Fulfill your promise to your servant, Lord, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. And last one is, how I long for your precepts. Preserve my life and your righteousness.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. What a blessing.
Yeah. You gotta have your
competition.
Do you
want
to just describe real quick what these are for?
Yeah, so I've been running late this morning, I couldn't find my name tag, but on our name tag there's a ribbon that goes underneath that says hidden. If you do eight verses, we're doing Psalm 119, so most people are doing eight verses from Psalm 119, any eight verses, any strophe, any stanza, then we put a sticker that says hidden, which means the word is hidden in your heart. And we hope that'll be a conversation starter at some point. Thank you very much, Kathy. Anyone else this morning? Well, please keep working on it. I won't be here next week, but the following week I'll be sure and start with the opportunity to do that, and perhaps Keith will next week or whoever's going to be here next week as well. You had one job. How many have seen the little things on the internet, little pictures that say you had one job? Anybody see those? I'm kind of reminded when I was about 12 years old, my dad was going to go to the grocery store and he said, why don't you come with me, you can help carry the groceries out to the car. And so, being a pleasant 12-year-old as I was, I readily and cheerfully agreed to do that. So as I pouted my way through the store following my dad, we finally went through the checkout, and he handed me my bag of groceries, and being, you know, tough guy, 12-year-old man that I was, I reached over and I grabbed the bag like that, and I'm ready to go, and my dad says, here's the bag, watch out for the eggs! And they went boom, 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 right down the ground. And so I have a lot of sympathy for the expression, you had one job. Okay. So on the back of your handout at the bottom, and they're kind of small, so I'll walk through them quite quickly, are a few of these are some of those are my favorite. The upper left corner, you had one job, please slow drively. The next one was the order placed with the bakery, I'd like to have the Olympic rings in the middle. So it says Olympic rings right there in the middle. And if you're driving the truck that paints the stripe along the car, you see a branch in the way, don't stop, move the branch and keep going. Just go around it. I mean, it's easy enough. And then we have ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. Don't know if you can see, we had a little problem. We got the ketchup right, but the mustard and the mayonnaise, we had a little confusion. And then we had the cement contractor who was invited to come along and build the driveway. And one job, put in the driveway. Not if you can tell, but the driveway is going off to the side of the house, and there's no driveway where the garage door is.
That's a tight turn.
Yeah, it's a tight turn around that corner. That's yeah. You kind of want to do it up on two wheels. Yeah. And then you had one job putting together the remote, left and right, left pointing to the right pointing to the left. This is actually one of my favorites. They came to another bakery. You get a lot of bakeries and street signs. So this is they came to the bakery. They said, we want you to put the picture on the, you know, on the cake. And they said, well, do you have the picture? I said, yeah. And they hand them a thumb drive. So there's the thumb drive. And it's really a pretty decent picture of the thumb drive. You know, it's really not bad. There's a lot of them at school crossings where school is mispronounced, but I thought the fire crossing was, because, you know, instead of saying fire, it says fry, you know. We had a little trouble with our continents on this particular t-shirt. It says Asia. So the person at the store was told, go out and put a label on the bananas. Curved yellow fruit. My favorite, though, is the last one. How much trouble does it take to put the handrail going up from the stairways? I mean, you'd have to have stools and ladders and balancing. I mean, at no time installing that handrail did it occur to anybody that this is going the wrong way. Anyway, I like these because I have a lot of empathy for them, not just dropping the eggs when I had one job to carry the groceries. But the fact is that we all mess up here and there, and we mess up in life, we mess up on our jobs, we mess up in our relationships, we mess up in our friendships, we mess up in our personal lives, we mess up in what we eat, what we look at, what we drink, how we exercise, our stewardship, we mess up with our checkbook, we mess up with our credit cards. We mess up. And we are in Psalm 19, we're in Haith, H-E-T-H, strophe. So if you want to turn back to the front of the handout, last week we looked at verses 57 and 58. We sort of changed our pace and we're walking through these as they seem to want to speak to us. So today we're going to focus mostly on 59, but paying attention to both 58 and 60 in the process. So let me read through the strophe. We call it a strophe or a stanza or a section or a verse, you could call it. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. That's the way it's written. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. There is just this rhythm of you can just David, you can kind of journey with him. You know, the Lord is wonderful. Oops, Lord, help me out. The Lord, you just love. The Lord is full of your love. Help me to get this right. There's this sort of conversation that David is having. And today, looking specifically at verse 59, and by the way, we're going to be looking also at Acts 24 and 25, so if you want to kind of be ready to look in Acts 24, we'll be going there shortly. But the word think in verse 59, when I think in my ways, it isn't just think. It's stop and think. In my work on campus, I get to teach ethics quite often, and ethics is moral philosophy. And so when you're teaching philosophy to college students, graduate students, undergraduate students, you have to kind of get them to understand philosophy is different than Excel spreadsheets. Philosophy is different than true and false questions. Philosophy requires thinking, and it really requires slowing down and thinking. Stop and think, just back off, take a breath, take a breather. We actually have some folks right now who are doing that exact same thing in, they're at a campground. Some members of our class are camping. Some of you were there yesterday to join for the dinner. And so a retreat, a camp out, a short-term mission trip. I've been on probably a dozen short-term mission trips, and it seems like every time I go, I end up, while I'm there, developing a list of things that I need to move out of my life when I get back. Sometimes it's tasks, and sometimes very good things, but the list is too long, and I need to filter it out so that I can be effective in the fewer things that I'm going to try to continue to work with. That's a blessing, the idea to stop and think. Tom Watson, the founder of IBM, long, long time ago, just simply had one word on the wall, said think. And really, for thinking about larger things, we would want to say stop and think. And that's what we have here. So the word think, it's to really think, to think about, to account for. The King James often renders that word, the Hebrew word, as reckon, which is not a word we use so much anymore today, but it's there. And we want to compare it with what we tend to, especially in North America, the pace of life and the sort of the priorities that we set before ourselves. We distract ourselves from thinking. In fact, oftentimes we engage so much in amusements. And the amusements, you know what the word amusement is actually an interesting word? Muse, like from the museum, a museum is where you kind of muse. You walk around and you muse. You think about, you reflect on what you're seeing, you learn. Amusement means is without. Without thinking. Amusement literally means without thinking. And that's very much a part of, you could even make the case that's part of Satan's plan, is to, in spiritual warfare, to move us out. I'm sorry, sweetie, I try not to. You could make the case Satan's plan is to move us out of a thoughtfulness. The very process of conversion it involves thinking. It actually involves some very rigorous thinking that people don't really want to engage in many times, especially if the thought process that you're thinking about, that you want to point to, is things about, like, I'm a sinner, and the sin is real, and life is short, and eternity is long, and perishing and punishment is an unpleasant thought, and so people don't want to think about. People don't want to even have that conversation. If you look at Acts 24. Acts 24 involves the character known as Marcus Antonius Felix. He was the brother-in-law of Herod Agrippa, which we see in Acts 25. And Felix, this is a weird time in history, probably in a very unusual time, because during Felix's reign, he was known for his cruelty and licentiousness, and he was quite accessible to bribes, which led to a great deal of increase in crime in Judea. And his rule was marked by internal feuds and disturbances, which he put down with severity. Nothing like we have today or anything like that. So Felix, there was a trial, and if you look at Acts 24, in the first part of it, verses 1 all the way through, really verse 21, is a trial before Felix. But then you go a little further in, and there's another opportunity for Paul to be interacting with Felix, and it's at verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. So we have the gospel being presented by Paul. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control, and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away. No, get out of here. I can't do this." How many have had that experience trying to witness to people? Few of us have. I can't talk about this right now. It's right there in the Bible. One of my favorite verses, and I have some very strange favorite verses in the Bible. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 28:17. It's actually right before the Great Commission. And Jesus, the risen Christ, is appearing in public. And verse 17 talks about, and as people gathered around him, they worshiped him. And then three words, and some doubted. And some, are you kidding me? This is the risen Christ. He was crucified, dead, buried, rose, and he's alive. And people are worshiping him. And some doubted. So if you think that you're going to do a better job than the risen Christ in convincing somebody about the truth of the gospel, well, you're kind of off base, frankly. It's not our job, number one, to convince somebody of the gospel. So look at Felix, look at some doubted, and even in the next chapter, which involves Herod Agrippa. Herod Agrippa was the brother-in-law of Felix. He was actually married. Felix was married to Harold's sister, Drusilla. Harold wasn't married, but he spent an awful lot of time with his sister Berenice, and the talk of the town was that there was an incestuous relationship there. So it is before Herod Agrippa and Berenice that Paul appears in chapter 25. And in chapter 25, you have really the same kind of reaction. I didn't highlight it, so I can't find it right here. But it's the same type of thing where he says, you know, if you keep talking, you're going to convert me. So go away. I don't need this. I can't deal with this right now. We are asking people, when we talk about the gospel and we think about the conversion process, we are asking people to stop and think about things that are not amusing. They are quite the opposite. They're very serious. They're very heavy. And they're very profound, and they're very compelling. And yet, we are being such a blessing to people when we do this. When we steer the conversation into things eternal and things spiritual. Socrates, a pagan, was known for the expression, "The unexamined life is not worth living." The ungospeled life is not worth living. That's why we're called upon to bring the gospel. When we bring the gospel, we're challenging people to think. And however they respond is really not in our list of to-dos. People will respond. There could be false conversion. People can express anxiety and even fear, which we saw in Felix. People can respond with a kind of a sense of dread and humility, and oh man, you're right. I've really messed up my life. I'm in bad shape. That doesn't mean they're saved. Ahab. Tore his clothes and grieved, and humbled himself before God in 1 Kings 21. But go on to chapter 22, and it's a different story. So, and people can even confess, "I have sinned." Judas confessed, "I have sinned." So, when we think about that process, the verse that we're looking today is, I stopped and I thought and I considered, and I realized I need to make some changes. I need to turn my feet. It's interesting today, and in forensics that we have. So often it's footprints or residual or indentedness or even electric changes that take place, static electric changes that take place when you step on an linoleum. Even if you didn't leave any trace evidence, there's a static electric change. That's just their feet. Not to mention all of the other kinds of trace evidence that are available. And what do? They tell a story. You can look at your feet and they will tell a story of where you are with the Lord. You can look at your checkbook. It will tell a story of where you are with the Lord. You can look at your time. It will tell a story as to where you are with the Lord. There is trace evidence all through your life that tells the story of where you are with the Lord. And David in this verse challenges us, stop. Consider and realize there are some things that we can repent of. You know, repentance is not just repentance unto salvation. That is certainly the part of the regeneration process. There's ongoing repentance, and all it just means is stop, look where I am, and wait a minute. I need to turn my feet. I need to turn in a slightly different direction here because I need to follow the Lord, and that's what David is inviting us to do. So. We really basically could say you have one job, and that job is really it's articulated in the Shema, and I'm actually at item number 3. We have one job, and the Shema is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You have one job. And you know what's interesting about the Shema, about Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5? Hear, O Israel, the word hear in Hebrew is Shema. You know, Shema doesn't mean hear. It means listen, but it doesn't just mean listen. It means be quiet and listen. Frankly, it means shut up and listen. Just as in our verse today, 59, it doesn't just mean consider, it means stop. And consider. Bring this thing to a halt, because there is a moment now where we need to stop and recalibrate. We can't just keep moving along. It's like, oh, I'm going to make a veer. I'm, you know, like an automatic pilot system. I'm going to this way, that way. No, stop and reconsider. And actually, that's why that verse sits so handsomely. I'm going to skip all the part about the heart and the mind. There's just a little bit of a study about what it means when we talk about the heart. But I want to go back to the beginning, if I can find my place here. Verse 58. Let's go back. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. There is that stop and think is right there. The Lord is my portion. Stop. I need to get lined back up with God's word. And so I pray for that. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. What is the promise? The promise is the Lord is my portion. We did that last week. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to my testimonies. When I think on my ways, when I stop and think, I realize I need to go back to your word. I need to dig deep. I can't just do a quick, you know, read a couple verses. I need to dive in. I need to turn my feet, my body, my strength, my mind, my soul to your testimonies. And that is the only way that verse 60 can make sense. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. I stop, think, dive, and now I'm ready to follow Christ and not delay and not be distracted. So that's basically the thought process. One of my favorite books that not many people have, a favorite book that's written by Soren Kierkegaard, but my favorite book written by Soren Kierkegaard is Purity of the Heart is to Will One Thing. And I have a little quote from that in the handout. But his idea is purity of the heart is to have only one thing that really matters. And if that's not God, if that's not Jesus Christ that we are following, that's, we have one job, to love God with our heart and our mind and our soul. And if we have something else that gets in the way, that's idolatry, and we no longer have purity of heart. Jesus, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We talked about that last week, John 14:15. Let me kind of conclude with a couple passages. First of all, 2 Corinthians 4:16. I got to find my way to that part of my notes here. I always bring in enough notes to do about 3 hours of this. So 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This is very, very much marries very nicely to verse 58, Psalm 119. When I entreat your favor with all my heart, be gracious to me according to your promise. God promises us that our inner self is being renewed day by day. And so our closing prayer really for this could be a verse we looked at already once before, Psalm 119:34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Part of the process of making that prayer is to stop and consider. In Haggai, the Lord said twice, consider your ways. And that's our invitation today. Any questions, comments on anything or anything to add, anything we've covered? Lord, Father God in heaven, give us understanding that we may keep your law and observe it with our whole heart. Your law being that we would love you and serve you with our entire heart and mind and soul and spirit and strength. We have one job. Through your Holy Spirit, help us to do it and do it right. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Announcements here. There's measures needed for moms, it's called. We'll hand out the sheet that was passed out. Sounds really good. It says our morning out for moms ministry, called Moms, is in need of some ladies who are willing to share the gospel, pray, listen, and